We'll get into our lesson this morning. I want everybody to stop and look at me for 5 seconds. Okay, now, would it surprise you to know that the average attention span of an adult is a whopping 8 seconds? Okay? So I asked you for about 3/4 of that, all right, give or take. So 3/4 of that time that you looked at me is the average attention of an adult, okay? Their attention span, all right? Now, how many of you ever had a goldfish growing up? Tristan, Wyatt, okay, Vanessa, you've had one. Tristan, Wyatt, you ever had a goldfish? Okay, you had a goldfish back there in the back? Okay, super. Now, guess what? A goldfish has more of an attention span than you do, okay? A goldfish actually has somewhere around the average of 12 to 15 seconds attention span. It can look at you out that glass and focus on you for that long before it gets distracted and moves on to the next thing. So how does that make you feel? Okay. But it got me thinking, why are our attention spans so short? Because believe it or not, in the last 10 years, the attention span has dropped from 12 seconds down to 8 seconds. There's a lot of theories to that. A lot of them I'm sure that you could probably think of in your mind, and it is kind of true, is electronic devices, okay? But the human attention span has always been a problem, all right? The kids, I don't know if it's a thing anymore. I remember it was a thing a few years ago, because when we had downtime in our job, when I was a meter reader, if you were caught up, you were caught up, and you could kind of more or less if goof off a little bit, okay? You know? So one of the things we used to do is we used to go out to the parks department, and the guy out there that was running the parks department at the time, he always had videos on YouTube pulled up, and there's these things called vines. Does anybody know what a vine is? Okay, those of you that don't know, a vine is a video that in its totality is about 8 minutes long, but it's made up of short 5 to 10 second clips. Total. So it cuts from one clip to the next clip to the next clip to the next clip. So it holds your attention based upon the fact that there's nothing that's really any more than 10 seconds long. Some of the things that are vines are people that are just like they're getting ready to fall asleep and then they just flat out fall over out of a chair. Okay? Cat videos were a big thing, still are a big thing. And sometimes they can get on the borderline crazy where it's actually 5 to 10 second clips of people getting knocked out in fights. Okay, and that's what those videos are made up of. And you notice in some of the things that we watch, you know, commercials are getting shorter too, like 15 to 20 seconds. That's all commercials are, because researchers have figured it out that we can't pay attention to anything for longer than that before we go on to the next thing. But with all that being said, our attention spans getting shorter and shorter and shorter, I still do believe and am of the opinion that it's a choice that our attention spans are so short. Let me tell you a couple other things here. You know how long the average movie was about 15 years ago? About 90 minutes, hour and a half. Just in the last 10 to 15 years or so, our movies have gone from an average of 90 minutes up to 120 to 130 minutes. So we went from an hour and a half up to about 2 hours and 10 minutes. And the interesting thing about that is because we'll make a choice, we'll go to a movie, and of course, if you've been to Stadium 16 now, they got the nice comfortable reclining chairs, and you know, you push a button and your feet go up and the back goes back. It's just like you're sitting at home, you're watching a movie. What happens if a cell phone goes off in the middle of that 2 hour movie? Better yet, what if somebody has to stand up and like walk in front of you when you're watching that movie? We go nuts, don't we? We go nuts because somebody is distracting us from an hour and a half, now 2 hour movie. Okay? We'll sit in that movie theater for 2 hours and never once get up to go to the bathroom. Think about that. Why don't we get up? We don't want to miss the movie. We don't want to miss something important. Sporting events, here's me. Okay? You know, the average sporting event's 3 hours long. You know, we go to hockey games. The only reason why I get up out of my chair out of my seat is because my kids have got to go to the bathroom, okay? If I was there by myself, I'd sit down, I'd watch the warm-ups, I'd watch the game, and I wouldn't get up for anything. Unless the wife wanted popcorn or something. You know, that's a given. Families now spend an average of 25 to 28 hours a week in front of the television. That's why I say, as much as researchers want to say we've got short attention spans and they want to blame all these things like cell phones, technology, it is a choice. We have a choice, and we make decisions all the time to focus our attention on maybe our cell phones too much at the expense of our kids, our jobs at the expense of the well-being of our families. It's called instant gratification in our society. We can turn on anything we want, and if we don't find something satisfying about it within that 5 to 8 seconds, guess what we're doing? We're changing the channel. Men are the worst at that, okay? Men are the worst. You never ever give a man the remote control, you know what happens, you know? But it's everywhere. Now, it's everywhere out there, but guess what? It's also in here, okay? We've got all kinds of things to distract us when we're inside the walls of this assembly. We do have our phones on us. Sometimes we got our watches and we're looking down at our watches. Or in this case, the clock. I'm the worst at looking at the clock. You know, I am, even when I'm up here speaking. Okay? Looking at the clock to see how much longer we've got till we get out of here. Maybe we're whispering something to the person next to us that has absolutely nothing to do with the sermon. I'm all for whispering something. Hey, you know, that reminds me of this situation. But if the whispering going on is where we're going to eat after church, my children are constantly asking me that. Okay. I have said time and time again, in fact, I told you the story a couple weeks ago when I was preaching, it may have been a month ago, about the lady who was leaving her church because she saw people that were distracted during the worship service, and the preacher asked her to walk around with that cup of water. Remember the story I told you? She said, fill that cup up with water, walk around the assembly a couple of times. And she goes, okay, I did it. I'm going to tell you the story again to make a point. She's like, did you see anybody that was distracted by their phone? Did you see anybody that was sleeping in trouble? No, I was too focused on this glass of water. And the moral of that story was, don't let anybody around you distract you when you're worshiping God. Okay? But the reason I talked about those distractions, our cell phones sometimes in our assembly, sometimes we're looking at our watch, sometimes we're talking to somebody next to us, is because not because people around us can see it, because guess who else knows it and can see it too? God. And that's what ultimately matters. God knows what's in our hearts. God knows what's in our minds when we walk into this assembly. And if our focus is not 100% on God, then there's a problem. I was reading a book the other day, since we were under this current arrangement, and Jim and I, you know, rotating the preaching and whatnot. I've tried to read some books about preaching, you know, to make myself better, because I want to be the best speaker I can be for all of you, in service to you all, and service to the church. But I ran across this thing the other day. A preacher in this book, he said, he had a member come up to him after service. He said, how do you handle the fact that sometimes people are falling asleep on you during church? How do you handle the fact that people are making a choice to be looking down at their phones, you know? Because looking down at your phone's one thing when you've got the... Because, I mean, we have the Bible app on there. I'm certainly not advocating that we don't have the Bible app on there, but there'll be times, this preacher said, whenever he hasn't even given a book, chapter, and a verse, and somebody's looking at their phone. Just like this morning. No book, chapter, and verse yet. We're going to get there. Okay? He says, how do you do it? How do you deal with that? He goes, it's not about me. There is nothing I can say or do to make those in attendance give me their full attention and their full focus. It is a choice. If the Word of God and the fact that we're in the very presence of God does not make us or make us want to focus all of our attention on the songs that are being sang and the prayers that are being worded and the message that is coming out of the pulpit, there's nothing that I or Jim, there's nothing that me and Jim can say or do that will ever get everybody to focus on us. It's a choice. It has to be made here. To come in here and to limit the distractions. And you know as well, you know I'm not talking about little kids, okay? That's a whole nother different story, okay? We're all mature here. We know what's a distraction by choice and what's a distraction that's not a choice, okay? All right? I always marvel. I look at the New Testament and I look at Jesus whenever he's speaking in front of crowds of people and how he's able to hold their attention for points of the time. Peter, when he preaches the first gospel sermon, he has most of those people's full attention. Paul preaches for, here you go guys, 4 to 5 hours. Okay? Preaches for 4 to 5 hours with people and how he's able to hold their attention. But when we read our scripture here that I'm getting ready to give here in a moment, I want us to realize that we have got to always be more focused on the spiritual things that are going on around us versus what the rest of the world wants us to focus on. And we were talking about that Bible class this morning, me and Tristan were. So now, Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. In verse 7, which, excuse me, I'd like to thank all of us here to quote this verse, because it's one that we cite often in our defense of taking the Lord's Supper in a weekly manner. We'll read chapter 20, verse 7 through 8 to start out with, make a few comments, and then work our way through the text. I apologize for not getting that verse up on the screen this morning. Acts chapter 20, verse 7 says, "And on the first day of the week, when we were gathered together to break bread, Paul began talking to them, intending to depart the next day, and he prolonged his message until midnight. And there were many lamps in the upper room where they were gathered together." So the context here is they've gathered together on the first day of the week, as the text tells us. He starts preaching, and I can just imagine that when Paul starts preaching, you know, you might think it's like this, you know, we're standing up, we're in a big room, but the upper room of buildings at that time or houses, they were rather large. Okay, that was where a lot of the hosting would go on. So it is a rather large room, but can you imagine the people that are packed in there? Because I mean, if Paul's speaking and it's the church that's gathered together, there's probably absolutely no room in there whatsoever. And so we read on here in a minute. I won't read on just yet for effect, but we read here that there's a young man in there that the only place he can literally sit is the windowsill. Just sitting up in the window because there is so many people in there. Now go back to what I said earlier, that Jesus was able to hold crowds' attentions. Peter was able to hold crowds' attentions. Do you think there was really any, I mean, we obviously know there was something special about our Savior. Let's not kid ourselves there, okay? But when Peter and Paul and Apollos and Priscilla and Aquila, when they got together, when they spoke to people and they were able to hold the people's attention, was it something about the speaker? Or was it maybe something about the audience that they were trying to reach, that the audience was way more eager to keep their focus and to pay attention to the message that was being preached versus the fact that the speakers were really good? Because we kind of get caught in that sometimes too. I'm telling you, no different with me. You know, sometimes the speaker just doesn't hold my attention. Well, guess what? It ain't the speaker that's struggling to hold your attention. It's me. Okay? It's me. The Beatitudes, Matthew chapter 5. "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness." Okay? Those Beatitudes are for us. They're there for us to read and to take to heart and to put in our hearts and our minds. If we don't come to the assembly hungering and thirsting for righteousness, we will struggle to focus. We will struggle to pay attention. But what you have to understand is, like a couple of weeks ago, is like we have got to remember that this little short part right here we were talking about on that rope, okay, affects everything that happens out here. Okay? If we don't hunger and thirst for righteousness in this little part right here, then it's going to be a lot harder to get to where we want to go on the long end of that rope. So we'll continue to read here in Acts chapter 20. We're still there. Go to verse 9. It says, "And there was a certain young man named Eutychus, sitting on the windowsill, sinking into a deep sleep. And Paul kept on talking. He was overcome by sleep and fell down from the third floor and was picked up dead. Man, train of thought just left me. So, he's on the windowsill. And I want you to notice there, the way that that's worded is, we could sometimes go, well, look at that, somebody fell asleep when Paul was preaching. How about that, you know? So as a preacher, maybe I don't need to take it so hard when somebody falls asleep, right? But I want you to notice how that's worded, though, okay? Now, you think about in our modern language, all right? When we talk about cancer, we say that the cancer spreads and it overtakes the body, right? We say that we say that about any disease in general. Am I wrong? Okay, what's that imply? Do we have a choice whether that cancer overtakes it? We don't have a choice whatsoever whether cancer enters our body and overcomes it or not. Okay? So when you look at this verse here and you see that the text says that sleep overcame Eutychus, what's that imply? He didn't have a choice. He was so tired, because that's something we say, you know, and this is something I'm going to wrap up with, but we do. We live lives where we work a lot, and we do come in, and we are exhausted. You can imagine maybe that's what Eutychus went through throughout the day, and their days were a lot longer than ours are. I promise you. So he comes in there, and he's fighting to stay awake because he wants to hear what Paul says. He just can't do it, and then he falls out the window, and he dies. You know? So the rest of the story goes now. We'll read verse 10. But Paul went down and fell upon him, and after embracing him, he said, "Do not be troubled, for his life is in him." And when he'd gone back up and had broken the bread and eaten, he talked with them a while longer until daybreak, and so they departed. Somebody died in the middle of while he was talking. And guess what happened? He picked him up, and they went right back upstairs, and he kept on talking. I kind of find that, in a way, I kind of find that humorous. Obviously, praise God that when Paul fell upon him, he just picked him up. They went back inside, but he didn't let that stop him from preaching the gospel. Didn't let that stop him from edifying and uplifting those who were listening to him. So the lesson there is, remember that there is never not an opportunity to talk about Jesus Christ. There is never not. Brianna, I need a drink, dear. I'm sorry. There is never not an opportunity to speak to someone about the goodness of Jesus Christ and what he's done for you in your life and for your family at any time. Eutychus fell asleep. It just happened, you know. Maybe we're sitting here this morning. Maybe we're thinking about that Monday morning meeting that we've got, you know. Maybe we're distracted. Excuse me. You think I know week in and week out to bring water up here, but I don't. Thank you. But like Jim said last week, we cannot let thinking about tomorrow and worrying about tomorrow ruin an opportunity for today. Thinking about tomorrow while we're in the worship service robs God of all the focus and attention that only He is deserving of. And Satan does a really good job of distracting us too. He distracts us with worries. He distracts us with so much concern that we can't even come in here for 30 minutes or an hour and give our full attention to God. It happens. Satan does a really good job too of telling us, hey, you went to church for 2 hours this morning. Take the rest of the day for yourself. Satan does a really good job of that, okay? Or better yet, you've worked hard all week. Won't you just sleep in this morning and you'll get to worship service this evening? It happens. And I want to make it clear again. It happens to all of us. Okay? But like Eutychus, we have to remember that falling asleep in the wrong place is dangerous. We can't fall asleep at the wheel of a vehicle, right? Can't do that, okay? If we fall asleep at work, what will that get us? It'll get us no work. Because if we fall asleep spiritually, that's the most dangerous thing that can happen to us. Because when we fall asleep spiritually, it can get us to fall out of our relationship with God completely and break it off. And if you notice that Eutychus, for him to fall out of the window, which way did he have to be leaning? He had to be leaning out. Because if he was leaning in, where would he have fell? It fell right back in the into the room. Okay? And the problem is that there's some of us here this morning that may be leaning out the window. Okay? Once again, this is for each person to decide where they're at in this relationship with God. Okay? If you're leaning out that window, it's time for us to wake up. Time for us to refocus ourselves, focus our minds and our hearts on Jesus and the things that He would have us to focus our attention on. And remember, like we talked about this morning or earlier with our short attention spans, it's our choice. We choose to have a short attention span. We can choose to focus on the things that God would have us to focus on. I remember, funny story, had a summer job. I've always worked for the city since I was 16 years old. So one summer, I'm working for the Parks Department. There's this old guy named Leon Wynn. He's since passed on. You remember Leon Wynn by any chance, Rick? Okay, all right. Well, he worked for the Parks Department out there. He's a full-timer, and he fell asleep one day about, 10 till 4 or so. So my boss, Bill Mears, he gets the bright idea. He starts telling us to sneak out and clock out one at a time, okay? Just as a joke. So we did. We all got to snuck out of there, and we got in there the next day, and I said, Leon, what time did you wake up? He said, I woke up. I was scared to death. I didn't know where anybody was. But he said something then that's really true. As if we fall asleep, we may eventually find out that we're the only ones that are there. And we'll be alone. And that's the worst place to be spiritually. The worst place that you can be is in a place, because this world, we are surrounded by wolves constantly. So to be all alone, by yourself, surrounded by the wolves of this world is no place to be. And nobody seemed to be paying too close attention to Eutychus when he fell out the window, because otherwise somebody might, gave him the old nudge. Okay? We have a responsibility to those that we can see, possibly, that are falling asleep spiritually. Those that are struggling. Now, the last point I want to make this morning before we wrap up. Some people don't wake up easily. It's just a fact, okay? Most of the time, I can walk into Alex's room. I can walk into Graham's room. I can say, hey, it's time to get up. And more often than not, the first person to pop his head up out of that crib is actually Graham. Alex, like I say, most part, he does a pretty good job of getting up in the morning. Brianna, on the other hand, you walk in there and you say, hey, Brianna, it's time to get up, and you get one of these. Pull the covers back over the head. Hard to wake up. You have to remember that for some people that are struggling in this world, it's going to take a lot more effort to get them to wake up. Still have to keep in mind the way that Scripture would tell us to do it, which is kindly, lovingly, patiently with certain people. It's always subjective. Each person is different. How much force it's going to take to try to get them to wake up. But you also have to remember, too, there are people out there that are laying on the ground that may not be crying out for help, or they may be. One of the two. They may be waiting for you to pick them up off the floor because they did fall asleep spiritually and drag you, bring you back over here into the people that are alive and that are awake spiritually. Okay? No one else is going to do it for them. So we have an obligation to reach out to those of our midst, those that have been here and attended services in the past, maybe those that are Christians and have fallen away. We have an obligation, Scripture tells us, to go and reach out to those people, to bring them back into the fold. That's the end of this lesson, per se. But I was going to take a couple of minutes to... It was something that Sarah and I were talking about the other day. That at times, when people pass away, on the surface it would seem like I lack empathy. And I'm willing to admit that on the surface, okay? Because if you know anything about when I talk about my wife, is that she is the balance in my life, okay? Her and Brianna over there, when someone passes away, I envy the amount of sympathy and the outpouring that they exhibit when someone passes away. I really do, okay? So I wish I had that. But I don't. That's why I say she's the balance, okay? But when someone in the church passes away, and this is meant to be an encouragement here, okay? When someone in the church passes away, as we talked about a few weeks ago, is I don't look at it as, yes, I'm sorry that this person is no longer with us. I really am, you know? But as Christians, if we truly believe what this word says, we know that God and Jesus Christ are at work in us throughout our lives. But do you know when the real work begins? The real work begins when we die. Okay? Because He takes this terrible, corrupt, physical body, okay, and He does something to it. Okay? He brings us up to be with Him forever in heaven to eternal life. Okay? And if that doesn't bring a smile to our face, it should. Because like I said, I want to say it again. Death is when Jesus does His best work. No doubts. And if we truly believe that, when those that go on before us, I'm sorry they're gone, but I can't help but also smile and be grateful also. I'm grateful that that individual was with us the amount of time that they were. But I am tickled pink and happy to know that on this day today, I'm taking the most recent example of a brother that has passed away, that Joe Dunn, right now at this time, like we are here today, assembled before the throne of God and singing praises to Him and thanking Him for everything He's done for us, Joe Dunn's doing the same thing right now. And he is with Jesus doing that. Okay? You believe that, right? That's good. Yeah, I know. I'm sorry, okay? This is something I'm trying really hard to impress upon my children, you know, that it's natural to feel sad, okay? But I'm going to say it again. Death with Jesus Christ is a victory. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. So this morning, if you're not a Christian, we deeply desire for you to become one. So we can have, you can have the assurance that you will be up in heaven with Jesus Christ forever the same way that our brother Joe is today. And our brother Chuck is, and brother Ed, and all of you, and all the family that has gone on before us. Okay? That's what being a Christian is. And that's why, in times of sorrow, we can be joyful as well. And if any of you are falling asleep spiritually and need the help of the church, we can pray for you to help kind of jostle you awake. Okay? Because that's what we're here for. We're here to be united in a true knowledge of the Son of Jesus Christ, and for all of us to be able to walk towards that goal of being in heaven and being able to be right before the very throne of God in the afterlife. So if you have any need this morning, you please make it known as we stand and sing our invitation song.